for the private group that we're talking to, that is really involved in what we were mentioning for a minute about the consciousness changing work, to actually go from belief to experiencing coming from a different place.
Yeah.
Most of them are really interested in what's going on in the world too, and may want to read your book, and also would appreciate the example. I think the one of the most powerful things about what you said in the show, which will now be a week ago when this group hears this part of the recording, is that you didn't just talk about, oh, well, you know, ideally you should just be able to go to a country like America with nothing and start a business and be successful and do all this stuff. You actually demonstrated that, which is incredible. That's really different.
Yes.
So for people that are discouraged now and say, well, you came at a time when there was an opportunity, but now everything's crashing. If you had come to America now with the opportunities changed as they are with the whole COVID thing and businesses shut down and all the totalitarianism solidifying, what would your attitude, how would it apply to this different environment? What do you think you would do?
Goodness.
I just thought that'd be an interesting scenario to imagine. Wow. You know, because your work ethic and your determination and your courage and your person of faith thing, and the, none of that would be different.
That's the
but
thing.
You'd, and you'd show up in a different condition of the country.
Right, exactly. And that's I think that's an important point to make, is that when you're a person of faith, you know, the natural circumstances don't really matter. It's really about how you perceive things and how you, you know, have faith. And because God has a destiny and a purpose for everybody, and he has his own kingdom that he operates on, and it's not the kingdom of man. So you have to be able to tap into that kingdom of God. And it kind of goes back to what I was talking about, you know, living in Zimbabwe, where, you know, things were hard for my mom. You know, she was a single mom, and, you know, she was trying to make ends meet, but she wanted me to get a good education, but she moved by faith. So she was tapping into a dimension of things that are not possible in the natural, but she's tapping into something that is supernatural by faith. And it's actually yielding the results, because she's not just depending on what she can see. She's tapping into the kingdom of God and trusting God and so forth.
And the supernatural, we just call it supernatural because we forgot, we lost touch with it, right?
Yeah.
It's actually the most natural.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is. And I think that's where we're going to have to go. We're going to have to go to that place. And that's what I was saying to my husband, that, you know, I had almost forgotten about how to live by faith, you know, like just only by faith.
Right.
And maybe more had depended more on my own abilities and the things that I could see, because, you know, America, things are kind of good over here, you know? So I think now Christians are going to have to kind of shift into that area where you're now trusting God for everything, and God comes through, you know, every single time.
There is a movie, another movie you may not have seen, called Indiana Jones. And
I watched it as a kid, but I don't
did
remember.
Did you? Okay. The second one in the trilogy, he's at a place where he's actually looking for the Holy Grail, which is a cup that Jesus is supposed to have drunk out of. And he comes up to this chasm that's just cut into the rock so deep that he can't see the bottom. And he's got to walk across it. And he's told that there's an invisible walkway, and just step out into space. And he does. And as he does, the walkway appears.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of like what you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. So true.
So you wouldn't necessarily feel daunted by the changed conditions right now. You just ask God what to do, right? See what happens.
Yes.
Let's talk about your book again. That's Choice Privilege. What does the name mean?
Well, choice privilege is a play on the words white privilege.
Okay.
I cross out where it says white and I put in the word choice.
Right.
Because basically I'm saying it is not the color of your skin that determines your destiny, your purpose, the quality of your life. It has nothing to do with the color of your skin. It has a lot to do with the choices you make. And one of those choices being, you know, do you choose to have faith? Do you choose to, you know, take steps of faith? Do you choose to work hard? Do you choose to, you know, be out there? So it's really more about choices than anything else.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. And that's on Amazon.
Yes.
And what kind of response are you generally getting to it when you're trying to wake people up out of the paradigm of black versus white and that sort of thing? Are people getting it?
People are getting it. So most of the people that I've been encountering, that at least the speaking engagements that I've been having,
yeah,
is mostly conservatives and Christians. So it's people that are going to be more open to,
right,
the idea. I did step a little bit out of the box recently and went on a black radio show, and it was more of like a Zoom meeting like this.
Yeah.
And but it wasn't bad, because these are black Christians that I was speaking to.
Okay.
So they still, you know, they still believe in systemic racism and they still hold on to the whole black identity thing. But I
so
was
what did they speak. So what did they say when you started explaining it?
You know what? I was able to really get them to think a lot. I really was able to kind of deconstruct that, being that they're Christians, because I spoke to them as Christians.
Right.
For example, we talked about, Justice Thomas.
Okay.
Justice Thomas. And the minute I mentioned Justice Thomas, it was like,
I said, wait a minute, he was supposed to be a victim trying to get in the restaurant and getting kicked out.
Well, no, the mood changed on the Zoom call, because they don't like Justice Thomas. And I didn't know this. I didn't know that black people did not like Justice Thomas, because I'm like, I thought you love every black person.
Why did they not like him?
Well, they said that there's one time that there's this one ruling, this young black man was accused of murder and was put in jail for 29 years. And then 29 years later, they did DNA forensic.
Yeah.
And he was found not guilty, because they couldn't find his DNA. So he was exonerated.
Right.
And then he decided to sue the city. So the city, I guess they took it to court and said that he didn't have a right to sue. And then it went all the way up to the Supreme Court. And apparently, I didn't know this, Justice Thomas ruled that this young man didn't have a right to sue the city.
Okay.
So I guess from that day on, the entire black community was completely against him because of that one ruling. So this was my response to them. I said, you know what? I don't know about that story. I probably would have ruled differently on that particular issue. And there may be some other things that Justice Thomas has ruled on that I don't agree with. But as a whole, he's somebody who stands for my Christian and conservative values. And to me, being a Christian supersedes my blackness or anything that I have. So if he's somebody who stands for life, which is one of the things that is the most important thing in a Christian, that should be the most important thing to Christian, because the abortion is a blood sacrifice, and
that's
it is
true,
bringing a curse on this nation. So I support him on the basis that I am a Christian over and above just being black. And when I said that, they really could not, you know,
no good
argue
argument against
that.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, they really could, because I was basically telling them that they are putting their blackness as if their blackness is an idol. They're putting that above their identity in who they are in Christ. So just because Justice Thomas did something to a black person that they didn't like, now he's completely canceled.
Right.
Because being black is what matters to them most. And I said, that shouldn't be what it is. Being a child of God is what matters to you most.
Right.
And that's where you should view every person, every lens, everything that you're looking at in life should be from that lens.
You're supposed to actually ideally love everybody, right?
Right.
Exactly. Not thinking that they're doing great things, because they may not be, but the people mm-hmm. who are not, proactively loving them helps them change.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. At least that's the idea.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. So, well,
yeah, so that was an interesting, but you know what? They actually agreed with I would say 80 to 90% of what I was saying, because
wow.
you know, I think believers in the Black community right now, they're feeling very lost as far as they can't identify with the Democrat Party. None of them cared for the Democrat Party. They were all like, yeah, we're not Democrats. Yeah, we don't like that. You know, so they definitely don't want to be in the Democrat Party anymore, because they are, especially if they're Christians, they can't yeah. identify with that party anymore, because it's gone so far to the left, it's unrecognizable. But then at the same time, they're not quite ready to say that they're Republicans, or, you know, to really identify with the movement of conservatism.
Yeah.
So they're kind of in that place where they're like, because they don't trust either side.
Well, maybe they could just evolve into more conscious state without taking a label
mm-hmm.
and feel yeah. less threatened.
Yeah, that's
you know, true. Like just learn about honesty and whatever is true.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the idea of science and education and stuff, is you don't, your position is not to just defend a label. It's mm-hmm. to say, look, if I'm wrong, you can show me it's not an ego issue.
Right, right.
I just want to know whatever.
But one of the things I was talking to them about was the importance of the Black community voting for their own interests, because for the last 50 years, they've been voting for the exact opposite of their interests.
Yeah.
So I wasn't trying to say they should start voting Republican, because I mean, Republicans are, you know, for the most part, probably almost as corrupt, not quite, but as the Democrat Party. But
yeah.
there are a lot of redeeming qualities about the Republican Party. But I said nothing is going to change if the Black community continues to vote for the people that are supporting abortion and government subsidized everything and
right.
Black empowerment and all these things. So they fully agreed with that, you know, with the wow. education system. And I said, you know, you complain about the education system. Why don't you build your own education system?
Yeah. That should have made them think for a minute.
It did. And they started to think about it. They're like, yeah. And I'm like, all these rich people like Beyonce who take a knee, and well, how many Black schools has she built?
Yeah. I think a small number, right? Huh? A small number for sure.
Yeah. Zero.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At some point, you know, I think people will evolve enough to say, maybe actually what we are as humans,
mm-hmm.
you know, not divided into camps and everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, if you ever have time, it'd be nice if you come back and let us know how things are going.
Okay, and, sounds good.
When we get the file finished and the show's been broadcast, maybe we could send it to you to share, if you're okay. open to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Melissa. That was great.
All right. Well, thank you, Doug.
Yeah. Thanks for staying so long.
Okay, thank you. Have a great
okay.
day.
See
All
you
right.
later.
Bye-bye.